Hey, hey, people of Earth, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse via our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with our hosts, John and Kenrick and Casey. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on Spoilerverse.com. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com.
So, a couple episodes ago, I went into the rant about Bubba Boba Fett.
Yeah.
What is a name in a movie, or just a name in general, that you've always said wrong? Like, I feel like everybody has this.
Dude, you always put me on the spot, and whenever you do, my mind goes totally blank.
Really? Because you're perfect.
I'm perfect. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know, man. I have names you read in a book.
Yeah.
So Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Arthur Dent's best friend is Ford Prefect.
Okay.
For the longest time, for some reason, my brain did not read Prefect. It read Perfect. Even though it's spelled Prefect and it's the name of a car, I would always call him Ford Perfect. And it wasn't until probably after I'd read the book at least two or three times and listened to the audio play. Probably on my second time through, because the first time through on the audio version was like when I was a kid with my dad. First time as like a teenager, adult listening to it, I was like, wait, it's Prefect? What the hell? And it blew my mind because it always said Perfect.
Right.
As reading it. So that's one of them, I guess, off the top of my head.
That's funny. It always makes me laugh when people say irregardless.
Oh, right.
Me too. That word drives me nuts because now it's in the dictionary. Because so many people said it wrong for so long that they decided to, evolution of language. So
language evolves. It's now a word. I'm like, it's a double negative word. Okay.
Because I always love saying, regardless of what you think, irregardless is not a word.
But now it is.
Damn it. Anyways, welcome back to Spoiler Country. I'm Kenneth Regan. That is Mr. Horsley. And today on the show, it's Jacques Chevelle.
Yeah, it is, man. He comes on, talks with Casey. He is one of the stars of Nickelodeon's Side Hustle.
And he comes
on the show. Yeah, which is kind of a cool name for a show. I mean,
it's a great name.
It is, yeah. And, dude, as a kid, were you a Nickelodeon? I don't know. You're probably too old for this. I don't know what they had back in your day.
Double Dare, man.
Okay.
I was 12 or 11 when Double Dare came out on Nickelodeon.
Perfect. So were you Nickelodeon or Disney Channel?
Nickelodeon. We didn't have Disney Channel.
Ah, dude. See, I was, as a kid, I was all Disney Channel because we didn't have Nickelodeon, but
couldn't get Disney Channel in Bremerton, Washington in like the late 80s. Like 86, 87. Nickelodeon was there. 88, 87, 88. It was all Nickelodeon. Disney Channel wasn't a thing.
My parents had it in Belfair, right? In the early 80s. And so.
Not the Disney Channel.
Yes, they did.
It wasn't. Okay.
They had it because I remember when we moved from Belfair to Bremerton, my dad had taken a couple VHS tapes and taped like 6 or 7 hours of Disney Channel for us.
I think your memory though might be later because I don't think the Disney Channel even existed as a thing in the early 80s.
Well, whatever. I had a recording of it.
Yeah. I mean, because they had ABC and they had every Sunday was the Disney hour. That's where I watched they did the Disney movie every Sunday. That's where I watched like The Cat from Outer Space and all that kind of stuff and the Apple Dumpling Gang and all those. But we should look that up because that's actually kind of interesting if they did have it.
1983.
There you go. Yep. Yeah, it wasn't offered in Bremerton. Not where I was at anyways. Not with the cable. I don't know who the cable company was then, but it was not offered for us. Not that I know. I mean, maybe it was in my – because how the fuck would I know, dude? I was 9. Right. I mean, what the hell? I'm talking to my ass.
Right. I honestly could be too. I don't. All I know is I had like 3 VHS tapes of like 8 hours of just Disney Channel. My dad recorded somewhere. I assumed it was at our house in Belfast, right?
So you just watched the same 8 hours over and over again?
Well, we had three tapes, so I had, you know, more than 8 hours.
24 hours of just Disney. Right? That's hilarious.
Where I was going with that is we got PrimeStar when I was like in PrimeStar satellite TV out in Seabeck when I was probably like early teens.
Okay. Is that the big ass satellite or was it the small one?
It was the medium sized one. Okay. They had like, it wasn't the small one, but it wasn't a big one. It was like a 3 foot satellite.
Okay. Pretty big.
Yeah. Well, the big ones are like 12 feet, but
yeah.
We got that. And then all of a sudden I had Nickelodeon. I was like, man, and I got in Nickelodeon because like Disney Channel is fun and all, but Nickelodeon, their shows are a little bit more risque.
A little bit more edgy. Yeah.
Right. And I just loved it. And I just fell in love with the Nickelodeon shows. And I still like Disney Channel stuff too, because I'm a Disney kid at heart, always have been. But I always loved the game shows like Double Dare and all the, I like the Temple. What was the Temple one?
I don't remember.
Whatever. I don't know if this one was on Nickelodeon or not, but there was one of them where you had to, like the kids got to like do challenges to win video games.
Oh, cool.
And I thought it was the coolest show ever. Because you could win like a Neo Geo, which Neo Geos were like the shit because nobody could afford them because they're like $800 in the 80s.
Right.
But they had all that on there and I loved it. But anyways, I like a long way to say I thought Nickelodeon was cool. That's all I'm saying. I don't know.
Nickelodeon was cool, man. They started off just doing like 50s and 60s sitcoms.
Did they?
Yeah. I think that like the Nick at Night stuff. I think it was, if I remember correctly, and don't, you know what I mean? You can go back. I mean, anybody can go back and look it up, but don't hold it to me that I'm saying this is what it was for sure. But I remember that they just did sitcom reruns forever. Then they started doing original programming.
I'll buy it. I don't know.
I could be totally wrong.
The Temple one was Legend of the Hidden Temple was the one I was talking about.
Oh, I remember that. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Legend of the Hidden Temple. And then, but I mean, I remember Double Dare because of all the slime.
Do you remember Greg Smith's story about Double Dare?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went out and tried for it.
Yep. You can listen to an old episode from Jet City Comic Con. I think it's 2018 where he tells that story.
Yeah. There you go. But we should probably go off this long rant.
Yeah.
And get into our amazing interview with Jacques Chevelle. I love his name.
Right. Let's do it.
I'm just going to say that out there, Jacques. You have a rad name.
All right, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of Spoiler Country. Today on the show, we have one of the stars of the Nickelodeon TV sitcom Side Hustle, Jacques Chevelle. Jacques, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
So what you been up to, man? How's life treating you today?
Life has been treating me pretty nicely. I had an early morning photo shoot I had to get ready for, and I got a chance to do a little exercising this morning with friends. Since we're going through this whole COVID thing, one of my friends built a gym in their garage. And I have been taking full advantage of that every day. So we've been trying to get up like at the crack of dawn and exercising, which like starts off the day really nicely.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been a while since I've been able to go to gym, but there's that feeling you get once you put in a good workout and then the rest of the day is just such a, it puts you in a good headspace.
Yes. Yeah, I feel that too. Definitely when we like, also something about getting up early in the morning too, like just starting your day off like productive. It just like, it makes you feel like you just like, oh, you got something done today. Like it's only 12 o'clock and you've just like finished a bunch of tasks. And it just like feels good to like have that all done so early and then you have the whole rest of your day to do whatever you want.
Yeah. It's important too, because it's not just taking care of your body. It is like seriously like a treat you give to yourself, and it pays out. It pays dividends.
Yeah. That's very true.
So tell me, like, how did you get in this whole acting thing?
I got into acting when I was younger. I had went to an open call And I was like, I heard it on a radio, very something you hear, every child actor, someone who wants to get in the business, like how their start is. It's like, I heard it on the radio. I went to the audition, and then I was very interested in continuing to pursue acting. I got into a high school production of Comedy of Errors, a Shakespeare play, and I played Antipholus of Syracuse at the time. And I actually got to perform that at a actual local theater in Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta.
Okay, cool.
I went to Thero High School, and I got to perform that in Atlanta, which is an insane opportunity to have at such a young age, first of all, and then such a green actor. Like, I got to perform at a local theater where people would pay to go see, which was a great opportunity. And I was very grateful to have that. And ever since then, I had continued to pursue it.
That's awesome. So when did you move from Atlanta to LA?
To LA?
Yeah.
So I moved around my 10th grade year, I believe. It was my 10th grade year. I moved to LA, and I finished up high school and college in LA. Well, high school and then some college. I went to Santa Monica College, and that's where I got more into the theater field and got to try out musicals and plays and start auditioning and everything. That's when I really start actually getting into the.
I hear you. So, do you miss ATL any, or are you all about the California now?
I do miss Atlanta, just because I haven't been back in such a long time because of COVID. I would usually be back around this time, maybe a month before for the holidays. And I just spend the holidays there in Atlanta, and all my family is from Atlanta. I don't know anybody family-wise here in LA. So it was kind of I am missing it now, but I do love LA, and I'm always after a month or two with my family. I'm like, I'm ready to come back to LA and I'm ready to just get back into the work of it. And I always tell people, everyone's like, how's LA? I'm like, it's one of the only states where you can go to the beach in the morning, and then you can go snowboarding, you can go to Big Bear and go snowboarding or whatever. It's just that's a lot you can do in LA, and it's fun.
It's crazy too, because until you actually go out there, you don't realize just how massive California is. It is flipping huge. So
But
it's so cool that you were able to take that audition and just run with it and turn it ostensibly into a career. So now you're on this show on Nick, and that's massive. How'd you feel when you landed the part?
I was like, oh my God, the process was very, very fast. And I have been acting for a long time, and I've been in things, but this was abnormally just the speed of getting this audition, going into producers, going into networking was just quick. Even when I think back about it right now, it's very out of body. I was like, I didn't have time to really process oh my God, I was signing, I remember the test day, I was signing the thing that is the contract about the show. And I was like, okay, I guess this is about to happen. I'm like, okay, I'm ready, right? So it was very just fast and very quick. And I was like, oh wow. And then the night I did my test with Network, I got a call from my manager and agent, the guy on conference call. And I was coming home from the audition, because the audition was in Hollywood. And the audition was in Hollywood, and it was later in the day. And I was coming back home. I had barely got home. And then my agent and my manager called, and I was like, guess what? You got the part. And I was like, oh my God, what? I said, I thought it was going to take a couple weeks to hear back from this. And it was very quick and very, very fast.
It's weird.
Process.
I either hear it goes one of two ways. It's either a long slog of not knowing whether you've been, you know, accepted into a role or not, or you don't realize you're in it until they've already made the decision and it just goes by just boom. So yeah. I think you lucked out on having to forego all of the long slog of having to go back and having to wait and see. So that's really fantastic. And how have you enjoyed working on what's essentially a kids program? How has that been? And how has that affected your acting style? Because you've done some heavier stuff.
Yeah. It's very interesting because, I mean, it's a multicam show and I've done a lot of theater and it resembles a lot of theater because you're cheating out. You're like all the technical stuff is the same. The interesting part about playing on a TV show like every week is that the character on a play, you have this same play and you have the same script and you have the same character. You know where the highs and lows are of this character. And you play that every day and you do that for like weeks. On a show, you play this character, you get the script, they change it, and you play that character and you play those lines that one time. So you get in a cadence of this character. Like at like around episode 12 and 13, most of the work that I would have to do for character preparation was already in my body, which was something I never thought would happen. It came very naturally. Like when I started the process, I like broke it down by how it felt and how it sounded and like how I wanted the character to come across. But on episode 13, I mean, we're getting these scripts like every day. The scripts are changing. You get a different one from executive producer run through to the network run through. And then sometimes on the day of filming, you get a different script. So it kind of got me into this process of just like already knowing how this character delivers a line or how this character feels or how this character, like his whole being, which is very interesting and very, I did not know that would happen, but yeah, it's been a crazy experience.
It sounds like a completely different discipline in terms of acting, and it's only something that's going to help you out as you progress and grow in your career and do more stuff, which is fantastic. And one thing, I watched an episode of your show with my kids. I have two kids I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. So of course I ate it up, and it was great. And y'all are projecting the jokes and very much a lot of comedy in your character, a lot of almost slapstick in terms of just like how the jokes are read and shown. And it's really fun seeing that and also watching my kids experience that, because, you know, of course y'all were the coolest thing since pre-sliced bread. So it was a fun experience, man. I really enjoyed it. So how are you enjoying that, just doing that different type of acting? Is it
First of all, I really appreciate that. Yeah. I am excited that so many kids connect with the character and love and is playing with the character and playing with the way he enjoys words and how he's such a physical character too. How I've enjoyed it, it's really fun. And the writers and the creators of the show are really good and they're really smart, and it's insane what they are able to do. And like, you learn in the process how to find the joke really quickly. And before I was like really good at it, but like they know how to write, and you find that joke, you know how to play the joke, which is a very hard thing to do. Comedy is like a hard thing to get someone to like portray, because like either you're funny or you're not, either you're laughing or you're not.
Yeah.
It's a very formulaic thing. And it's awesome to be able to be a part of a show every week that I get to practice that muscle and I get to play with these characters and this character and this amazing cast and kind of just like go back and forth with them.
That's awesome. Do you mind if I ask you a question about process, specifically like you're coming in off of, you know, leave your car, go do whatever you have to do to get ready for the stage or for, I don't know what they would call it, the studio. What do you do to get into your character and put all of Jacques Chevelle stuff out of the way so that you can deliver the laughs, you can deliver the lines, you can make the scene happen?
Yeah, it's very, very important to get rid of my issues because
I'm not saying you have issues, by the way.
No, that's fair. I'll give you that. No, I'm joking. No, it's but I mean, no, seriously. Like, if I'm like having a tough day or like I like it's like something going on. I mean, we have COVID's going on. Life is happening while I'm filming the show, and there are days and. It's important for me to get out of my own way. And my process usually is a very physical one. Acting kind of informs the brain. Your body informs the brain. So if you are in a certain posture or your lip is curled a certain way or the cadence of the way you speak has changed, your brain is like making connections that is already built, that's already has had time to be built upon. So week by week, I've been able to, like I said, get back and get into that character quickly. And it's assisted me with the process of just going in and having fun right when I step on stage, because all of that background noise has to go to the background. I have lines to remember. I have places I have to be. I have to be aware of things. Things are supposed to be in certain places, and sometimes it doesn't happen. And that's sometimes not a bad thing, because something good can come out of that. Like a mistake can turn out to be really funny and a really funny take or something someone didn't think about. So it's very important for me to be in present in the moment. And a lot of that ability to get into the moment is, again, keeping that stuff in the background and just being present with my actors.
That's awesome. Do you do anything to prepare yourself beforehand to kind of
push stuff to the side? I do a little meditation. If it's like a rough day, I do like a 20-minute meditation and I'll drink some tea maybe if I'm feeling real hyper or something or moving too fast. Yeah, I just try to calm myself down before performing, just to clear the mind. That's the best thing to do, is to have a clear mind before performing.
You also brought up tea a second ago. I was wondering, I mean, you're having to project your voice and act out loud. What do you do if you go in and you're like, this is not working today? Something like, it's cold and flu season right now.
Yeah.
Is there any secrets that you have for that? Especially, I mean, when you did Shakespeare, I'm sure that was also
That's so funny you said that. I was gonna even go to that point. The craziest thing is, before this show, I did Macbeth, and I was Macduff. Nice. And that character is the way I interpret the character, he's extremely emotional, and a lot has happened to his family, and a lot is happening to his whole world at the moment. And I am just giving it all vocally and physically to that character. And it's so funny that, because now Jagged is, he is physically and vocally a big character. And I was like, oh, wow, that's funny how that kind of went full circle. But luckily, he's not on stage for 2 hours and screaming for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I get a break in between. I would, I don't know, Jagged Theater Stage, I don't know how he will pan out if that was the thing. But I just like tea, honey, vocal rest. I know sometimes I can try to keep from vocal fry. Vocal fry can really, like, I can really feel it in the morning. So I just like kind of adjust the way he would say things sometimes if it's too intense on my voice. And also we're doing TV, so hopefully they got it on the first shot.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't, but we can sometimes. And yeah.
I've heard stories from people in animation that they decided to go with a really just over the top voice for the character that they're portraying. And then they're like, oh, should not have done that. Should not, because they're yelling at the top of their lungs, you know, for 6 hours a day or whatever. How's the shooting schedule for you guys? How many shows are y'all having to do a season?
So we started off with 13 episodes at the beginning of 2020. And then by the time we finished maybe episode 10, we got picked up for another 7 episodes, which calculates us to like 20 episodes for our first season. We're filming almost every week.
Oh, wow.
We're on hiatus right now. I'm on break for this week. And then next week, they go right back to filming. We film almost every week. The break usually is during holiday. Like usually on a show you get 13 episodes and then there's a break because also like the cast needs a break, the crew needs a break or whatever. Luckily, around the time we got picked up for another episode for those 7 more episodes, it was right near the holiday break, which was like it was like Christmas, New Year's. So we got a break from that, and then on top of COVID, we got an extra break because they wanted to make sure everybody was healthy before they returned back to set. So we got a big break, and then we were able to come back revived and ready to do some more episodes, go for some more. So it's an intense shoot schedule, and it's like you're like going because you're like, you got to memorize lines. You got to memorize blocking and where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to hold and stuff like that. And sometimes things change. Sometimes the whole scene disappears and you learned all those lines.
Oh, wow.
For nothing. For nothing. That's happened before. And then some days you're like, oh, it was like maybe 2 weeks ago. I was heavy in this episode, and I was like, I'm going to make sure, because Jack is very physical. Like I said, he's moving a lot. So I was like, I'm going to memorize all my lines. I'm going to have them all down. The day of shooting, they changed everything.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh God. But again, you're in the, I'm on episode 15, 16 by now, and I'm used to that change. So you just go in your trailer, you learn those lines really quickly, you get them down, you're ready for set, and you're good.
Have you been recognized yet by people outside of the studio? Just, you know, out of the grocery store? Well, I guess now it's even more of an obstacle because you got a mask on.
Right. Yeah. No, I haven't been, I've been recognized by my fellow crewmates. I've seen my other crewmates around Hollywood, and I was like, and it's so weird because I see them and I'm like, do I know you? And then it's like this hesitation. I'm like, it's like, Jock, Michael? It's like, okay, I do know you. And then we say hello. But I have gotten like videos from like the kids who have been copying the character, which is super dope and so crazy that I'm a part of their childhood. This random person I don't know, this life I don't know, that I'm a part of their childhood. And I got this video where it's like, this girl was like, don't pinch my brother, I'm going to give you macaroni and cheese. And I was like, oh, that's so dope. Yes, give that. I think they were talking to their parent. So I was like, okay, all right, okay, cool. it's the kids are having fun with the character, which is what I wanted when I worked on this part. So I'm excited and I'm happy about that.
That's awesome. I understand you've also performed in a few musicals.
Yes. So I did.
How was that?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. The last musical I did before I got this job was Wedding Singer. And I think it was at the Morgan Wixon Theater. And it was fun. I get entranced with musical theater. Like, I really have a love and a passion for it from an outside standpoint, an appreciation for it. It's a very magical experience. I know it's like, of course it's magical. But it is. Like, when you're sitting from the wings and you're seeing this artist just like belt out this song, it's amazing. It's nothing like it. It's very... I love having a chance to be a part of it. I remember, here's a story. I remember that my college was doing Into the Woods. And great one, right?
Oh, yeah.
We were doing Into the Woods, and I was doing another show. I was doing Comedy of Errors again, but I was doing Dromio at the time. And I was like, I went up to the director. I was like, please let me be a part of this. I will be a leaf. I will be a branch in the background. Just let me be a part of this magic. I know this is not going to come back anytime soon. So just let me do that. And she let me do that. And Tromeo's a pretty intense character. So I was like really grateful that she was let me be a part of both productions and perform. And it was great.
It's fun. I recently sat down with my kids and we watched Hamilton for the first time. And I'd already listened to the soundtrack a few times just because it's great. But both of my kids, it was fun seeing them take on what was kind of a new form of media for them and just really appreciate it. And so it's so fun seeing people experience stuff like that for the first time. And I just love it. Musicals are great.
Yeah.
So, do you have anything else other than the show on Nickelodeon that you want to talk about, which is Side Hustle?
Yes. Side Hustle. I've just been like really taking this time to be like really exploring what else I would like to do in the industry. I was able to work on a project with one of my friends called Neighborhood Crux, and we like was able to make that during the pandemic.
Shutdown? Yeah.
Yeah. During the shutdown. Cause we were all like, it was like all these artists like in the home, and we were all like, just like, we got to make something. We got to do something. And I was able to do a lot of the background stuff, like a lot of the stuff like casting. I did sound, I did art, I was an art director, and I got to do a lot of that stuff. And I really was able to explore, and like I found like a lot of joy in doing all that and like juggling all those things at one time. And I was like, oh man, I would like to do that more. So I've just been in a process of just like trying to figure out how to make more of my own content and collaborating with friends that I enjoy working with.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And this, the thing about artists is, you know, you're in the shutdown right now. You're in the middle of a pandemic. You can't stop creating though. There's nothing that is going to make you want to stop that creative spark. And that's the mark of a true artist, because I mean, it's an itch that you have to scratch. Yeah. And you can't put it away. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome seeing people like yourself that just really take to it and can't be delayed by little things like a global pandemic get in the way.
Mm-hmm. It was very fulfilling and very, I don't know, confirming that we were able to somehow figure it out and get it done, even with all the restrictions. And even with all, you're like, oh, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if we can do this. Like it was a process of just like all that resistance and still being able to come out with a really beautiful project was an amazing experience.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So I'm just really impressed by what you've done in what from from the outsider's perspective, seems like, you know, a short amount of time, but you have all of this stuff that you've done has been just one step in the formation of Jacques Chevel. So it's always really cool seeing somebody early in their career making the right moves, going in the right direction, being fulfilled by their craft and wanting to learn more about it and do more with it. So, dude, I can't wait to see what else you do.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. No worries, man. And also just seeing a fellow Southerner do good makes me happy.
Yes. Thank you.
So I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but thank you so much for meeting up with us and talking about your career and talking about Side Hustle. And anytime you have anything else you want to bring to the show and talk about, by all means, give us a shout, okay?
Oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
No worries, man. Take it easy. Enjoy your evening and stay warm. It's, for some reason, there's a cold snap and it hasn't been this cold all year. It's like 17 degrees outside now.
And, man. Oh gosh.
I was wearing t-shirts last week. So.
Whoa. Wow. That's a quick switch up.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Oh wow. Yeah. Stay warm. Stay warm.
Take it easy, man. Enjoy it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
And we're back.
That's right. We are back. Back in the saddle again. Well, I hope you guys really, really enjoyed that as much as we did making it for you. And if you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, you got to go check out spoilerverse.com, because at spoilerverse.com, we have a plethora. Plethora is such a snobbish word.
I like it, though. It's a good word.
We have an obscene amount of interviews with amazing directors and artists of all walks of life and editors and writers. And oh my God, are you a lover of comic books like we are? Then there's so many amazing people from the comic book world over at spoilerverse.com. And I highly implore you to go there and check it out.
Yeah, and while you're there, you can check out all the other podcasts on our network, like Bridges of the Geekdoms and Funny Book Forensics and Haphazard Adventures and Nerds from the Crypt and so many more.
Misery Point Radio.
Episodes all the time. Misery Point Radio has got a ton of great stuff out there. Go check all of them out. And check out all of the reviews and previews and articles we have going up every single day for you, every day on spoilerverse.com for you to check out, to read, and to love, and to like, and to comment. We have a store link. If you want to help support the site, do it two ways. One, go to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/spoilercountry, or go to our store link in the middle of the site there and get a t-shirt, a face mask, a hoodie, something. Look fly as hell and help support the site when you do that, because we get a dollar or two. And, you know, maybe you want to talk to us. If you do, you can do it, you know, obviously on all the socials. But if you go to scpod.us/discord, you can join our public Discord server and come chat with us all day long.
I couldn't say it better myself, dude.
There you go.
You just mouthed out a ton of information at once. And really, I hope you guys enjoy what you're hearing, because we're working our butts off to bring it to you.
We are.
I guess there's only one left thing. One left thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with it. There's only one left thing left to do.
What's that?
In an oceans of podcasts, we are Cthulhu. As Cthulhu compels you to do. Open the mind.
And even more.